Citizen Kane? No. Godfather? Seen it. Casablanca? No. Raging Bull? No. Singing in the Rain? No. Gone with the Wind? A little bit. Lawrence Arabia? No. Schindler's List? No. Vertigo? I saw it for 10 minutes. Wizard of Oz? Yeah, I've seen it. City Lights? No. Never heard of it. Searchers? No. Star Wars? Yes. Psycho? No.
Hello and welcome to Haven't Seen It. This is our fourth episode. I'm Jen Stansfield.
And I'm Sean Merrick.
And this is the podcast where we talk about movies that we haven't seen but probably should have.
And I think this time around we decided to go with what is arguably, to pretty much everyone, the greatest film ever made. We're talking about Citizen Kane.
Yes, indeed. If anyone's been checking our haven'tseenit.tumblr.com, I've been posting Citizen Kane references. So yeah, we saw Citizen Kane, and then of course, we also saw another piece of, well...
cinematic mess.
A cinematic masterpiece.
Masterpiece. We decided, this is, I guess, in the terms of... the stoner, modern stoner comedy genre.
I don't even think it's a masterpiece there.
Well, Dude, Where's My Car?
Yep, Citizen Kane and Dude, Where's My Car?
And at the
same time, same podcast. So take that in, people.
And I'm not going to lie, Dude, Where's My Car? I liked it more.
We'll get to that. So I guess what we're going to talk about first is Citizen Kane, the classic... even Roger Ebert has called it the greatest movie ever made.
Yes.
Citizen Kane. Orson Welles' Citizen Kane. So.
Well, I guess I'll do my thoughts first. Okay, here's the thing. We watched this movie over the course of 3 days.
Yeah.
We watched it once, watched part of it at first, and we were like, this is something's going on, you know, we're... You know, I guess if anything, this movie, you realize how much The Simpsons lifted directly from it.
Referenced
it.
A lot of movies.
Yeah, which, look, I mean, obviously this is something I was aware of, that it's an iconic movie, that a lot of these images of, you know, seeing them for the first time within this context, I was like, well, okay, this is interesting, and I just did not... I guess I just didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, I guess I didn't either. I mean, obviously, it's Orson Welles. This is his, basically his first movie in Hollywood after War of the Worlds. And he, from what I was reading, he, you know, after he did War of the Worlds, he was courted by Hollywood. He came here, and he was like 25 years old when he made Citizen Kane. And first-time director, he had complete control... And he also had the ability to give the final cut, which was unheard of and probably still unheard of for an untested director.
Yeah.
So he came out, hooked up with the screenwriter, and both of them were obsessed with William Randolph Hearst, the newspaper baron. And basically this Citizen Kane is loosely based on Hearst and a couple other rich guys, but mostly Hearst. And so, yeah, I mean, I've seen it. I watched it. It's got some great qualities. I just didn't care. I feel awful because it's the greatest movie ever made, but I didn't care.
Well, there's a thing about it is that, okay, Charles Foster Kane.
Played by Welles.
Played by Welles is not a likable character.
No, it's basically the point of the movie is to, like, show how he started out with this great dream and then how he was corrupted by power.
But, I mean, I didn't really get that impression so much. I think he just kind of just did whatever he did because that...
Well, that was what when he sent at the very end. Not at the very end, but when he's trying to make that woman into a singer.
Yeah.
When he sent, like, it wasn't the Constitution. It was, like, the tenets, basically. The commandments of, like, what he wanted his newspaper to be, and he was using it to try to make this woman into a singer.
Okay.
that's supposed to show that he is so far distant from what his original idea was.
Yeah, true. I mean, I guess that, I missed a lot of parts of that, of those movies, just because I just wasn't interested in the story. I was more interested, I guess, for more of the stylistic aspects of the film, that being said with the cinematography and just the innovations that it brought forth, and obviously the makeup. You know, I mean, I still can't believe that Orson Welles was 25 and looked like he was 40, which I guess back in the day, that's
Orson, he kind of looked 40 when the movie started, and then he just got older.
He lived through the Depression, which was still technically going on at the time.
Yeah, maybe that's the deal.
So maybe you just kind of have to woof it out, and that's how you look all rugged. You know, these days, you know, it's not, you know, times are tough, but they're not nearly as bad, you know.
Oh, shit, are people going to look back at us and be like, people were old back then?
Oh, God,
yeah. That's what, like, I look at pictures of people, like, from back in, like, you know, the early 1900s, and they're, like, 18, 19 years old, and they look 50.
Yeah.
Is that going to be us?
Yeah, nobody ever looked young, ever.
No, that's true. It's just nobody ever looked young, ever.
And, I was impressed by the fact that, and Citizen Kane, though, I was like, okay, you got the makeup, you've got the camera innovations, you have the narrative structure, which, you know, is the first time that the flashbacks and just the way that it was, you know, presented, you know, you were not, it wasn't just like, you know, the straight formulas that people were used to.
I guess I would recommend seeing it. I really don't have a lot to say about it because I didn't love it. I mean, the problem was, I think one of the biggest problems for me is I was not drawn into the, quote, mystery of finding out what Rosebud, who or what Rosebud was, because I already knew what it was.
Yeah, we know.
How can you not know? I mean, how many times have people been like, it's a sled, you know, in movies? And I think even The Simpsons did it.
I did appreciate, though, that in the way that in this world that Citizen Kane that Charles Foster Kane was just as completely, like, you know, if this was a homage to Hearst, then he's doing it in such a way that it's just like, well, you know what, I'm just gonna make it way over top. He's got like this big farm estate.
But that's Hearst actually had like a cat. It's not like a castle.
Yeah, a castle, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like down in California somewhere. And yeah, I mean, he had it, and he spent fortunes like amassing shit from like palaces in Europe to fill these rooms after he hooked up with some like actress comedian and left his first wife. So I mean, like that's totally what it was. It came to the fact where like Citizen Kane was released and Hearst banned all of his papers from mentioning it.
Right.
First, it was RKO, which is
the studio,
which, thanks to you, all I can think of
is Randy Orton.
Is Randy Orton. Yeah. Thank you so much. he banned everything, and then, like, 2 months later or something, the ban on the studio was lifted, but Citizen Kane
was not
allowed to be reviewed. Anything it mentioned in his movie because he tried to kill it when it came out.
Yeah, and but
he was offended.
But you know what though? I think that what's actually kind of great about this is that he, you know, that Welles took this, you know, this direction that it's going to be a movie of, you know, loosely based on this person and all these things that, you know,
I don't know how loose it was, but yeah,
or loosely based, or, you know, or tightly based, or however, you know, just based on this person. And that, you know, he's going to, you know, delve into all these aspects of the life, of this guy's life, and that, you know, be replicated in such a way, you know, for 1941, to see a movie like that, you're just like, you know, it's not like they're using, like, cheap props or stock footage, or maybe they are, I don't know, there's a little bit of that, but it was just, you know, a daring undertaking in film.
Well,
and I want to be, like, flippant and funny about it, but at the same time, I was watching it, and I just was not drawn in, I guess. I mean, I respect it, but I just was not enamored by it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I see what it did. I mean, Welles got to use basically unknown actors from, what, the Mercury Playhouse?
The Mercury Theater Playhouse, yeah.
Yeah, because he was just, I mean, that's unheard of then, that's unheard of now. Like, can you imagine being like, hey, big studio, give me money. I'm a director no one's ever heard of.
That'd be like taking, like, you know.
And
like,
I'm going to take people.
Your local theater troupe.
Yeah, that'd be like me going like, hey, I used to work with Improv Boston. Here's a bunch of people that have done some local commercials. Give me tons of money, MGM. And they would totally let me do it. Like, that's, no, that would never happen. I mean, that'd be awesome if it happened, but it would never happen today. It was the same way back then.
Well, it was a big risk, you know, and obviously it paid off in certain respects.
I mean, it was great. I mean, the actors were fantastic and
whatever.
But it's just, I guess because I already knew what Rosebud was. I knew what it symbolized. I got it. I didn't care that they were looking for it. I'm like, it's a sled. It's a sled.
And then they threw it in
a sled. It's not a woman. It's a sled. And it's a sled. Oh, great. There it goes against Martin. Like, I knew it.
It was there to begin.
Maybe because I didn't know. If I didn't know, maybe I would have had a different appreciation.
Well, okay, here's the
thing. I already got it.
Here's the thing with Rosebud. It's like, okay, Rosebud is in the very beginning of the movie because he's playing with the sled.
It's his innocence.
It's his innocence.
It's his childhood.
So then he throws it. Okay, so he says Rosebud. And then you see the sled, you know, or at least at the time that you already know it's the sled. So you see it in the beginning. And then at the very end, you know, they're throwing it in a fire because it's just a mass of all the crap that's been building up in this thing. And it's like, well, why should I give a fuck about this sled? You know?
It's supposed to be like, oh, that's what it was. He longed for his childhood. What
was
oh,
it was
his that, and his innocence, and da-da-da. Like, that's what you're supposed to care about. And
but it was just so far removed from, like, points
really,
of the movie. So,
really,
like, why would I care? I mean, it could have been, you know, any million other things in that built in that place that they could have alluded to.
Yeah,
and
could have been anything. It was the sled.
So
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know. It was what it was. I would say watch it. It's one of the great.
Well, you should see it because
you can see it because not only that, but you get to see where that, you know, iconic Citizen Kane clapping gif comes from, and you know what I'm talking about. If you spend any time on the interwebs, it's that gif of Wells just clapping very, very, very
adamantly.
Yes, adamantly. That, you know, that gif.
Yeah.
So, yeah, see it for the gif, I guess. I don't know. I mean, not something that stupid.
See it because you need to see
it. Because it's Citizen Kane.
See it because you need to see it, but don't, you know, I don't know. I just
and maybe somebody else. Hey, if you guys have a different opinion, if we're missing something, write us. Like, haven't seen it at gmail.com or send us an ask question on Tumblr. Let us know. Like, tell us we're fucking idiots or, you know, that we're totally right, or we're half right, half wrong, whatever. Or just tell Sean that you like wrestling and make him happy. Whatever. Just, like, seriously, like, write us and tell us, like, we're wrong about this movie, or whatever. Or give us a reason. Give us something else that we missed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we saw it.
Okay.
That was the end of that.
I know. I just, it's draining my spirit right now as we speak.
It really does. I don't understand. It shouldn't. It's a bummer. It's a bummer of a movie.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer of the music of the movie industry, and it's the number one movie of all time.
You know what really sucks about that movie too? Mm. Just a lot of scenes where people just talk the fuck over each other.
Well, that's it. It was real life.
Yeah,
real life back in the '40s. Nobody stopped talking. Everybody was taking up air.
And then you use their name like 18 times in one sentence.
Mr. Kane.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the other movie we saw, the other piece of cinematic masterpiece, glory, whatever. Was Dude, Where's My Car? Because, you know, that goes with Citizen Kane.
Yeah, and it was streaming on Netflix.
Which is pretty much...
Usually that's kind of...
Honestly, it was just like, dude, let's watch that.
Well, here's the thing, okay, we have Citizen Kane, which is a movie that
we have to watch the serious movie off the AFI list.
We see the serious movie off the AFI list, and we're like, we're dreading watching this, we're trying to squash through it. 3 fucking days to watch this movie. And we're, you know, but we were like, well, you know what, we watch something that maybe... You know, it's completely out there, and then, like, I think, I don't know.
It's stupid.
Well, of course it's stupid.
Let's watch a stupid, mindless movie.
Okay, first of all, it stars Ashton Kutcher and Sean William Scott.
And I feel bad for Sean William Scott. Just because I don't think he'll ever get away from that Stifler, dumb character.
No, why would it matter? I mean, the problem with him is that he always looks like that. He'll always be Stifler. He's Stifler, but even if his name wasn't Stifler, he would look like a guy named Stifler. Because he just has that kind of look where you're like, that guy looks like somebody that went to my high school that would always walk around and swear and be a big douche. And, you know,
knock people over, like, hit people's books out of their hand, because he's just a fucking cop.
Yeah, like, he's just, there was a million
of those. Yeah.
Growing up in Cheektowaga, New York, there was a good dozen of those people. Not millions, if a million, there's not even a million people in that town. But, yeah, so that that's what he looks like. So, I mean,
like the douchiest jock in high school.
But in this one, though, he actually kind of is, like, you know, kind of, like, he's the same character, but he's, like...
Dumber.
He's dumber, and he's not as violent.
Yeah.
And,
Well, no, I don't think
he's even... Or smarmy?
No, he's definitely not smarmy. He's kind of... nice, stupid. The fact that he's, like, so stupid that it doesn't dawn on him to be mean.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, yeah, and they're, and, you know, like, basically the premise of this movie is...
In case you haven't seen it or heard about it. Because it's hard to tell what the premise is by the title.
They lose their car.
So, dude, where's my car?
The line is in the movie at least a dozen times. And this movie came out in 2000,
It's the poor man's Wayne's World, really.
It's funny because...
And Beavis and Butthead.
It's funny because this movie... Like, you could clearly tell it was made as cheaply as humanly possible. And all, I have to research the budget of this, but the budget itself, if anything, all that went to the special effects used in this movie.
What, at the very end?
At the very end. Well, just like anything. Or just like the animatronic dog.
Oh yeah, there was an animatronic dog.
Animatronic dog face.
And I do believe that your question was, is this movie really worth an animatronic dog?
And maybe it was. You know, I mean, for whatever joke that is, I mean, you can't just have like a fake puppet or something like that, or maybe did you really need to make like mechanics for this dog's face that would need to attack somebody when you smack a pipe out of his mouth?
Yes. The dog smokes pot with a pipe that looks like itself.
So,
it's very obvious that when they made this movie, they were just like, all right, we're going to make a movie that hits every fucking, like, tenet that you can think of a movie that 18-year-old boys are going to watch.
Yeah.
Are there hot chicks? Check. Did people say dude and sweet a lot? Check. Do people, you know, make fun of people with Chinese accents? They sure do. Are there aliens and hot chicks who are going to give blowjobs? Yes, there are. Like, I mean, sort of, that's pretty much what it was. Oh, is there like a rap montage?
Well, rap was a big deal back
then. Are we going to terrify 18-year-old boys by showing two men kissing and be like, oh, gay? You know, seriously, it was like meant to push every one of those buttons.
Yeah.
Really, really poorly and just... Ridiculously.
Well, what I just realized, actually, about this movie is that this movie is a cinematic equivalent of a late 90s, early aughts Cash Money Millionaire's CD cover. Because the Photoshop and, like, just, like, the aura of it just looks so cheaply made and bad, and yet you're laughing at it for no unexplained reason. And... there was a few goofy lines in it, and there's some stuff that you just...
You have notes.
I have notes, actually. I should probably just read my notes I put. Okay, first note.
I don't have notes.
First note. How did these dumb fucks get past the dating phase to be deemed boyfriends?
What, the twins that don't even look like twins?
The twins that don't even look like twins.
Garner.
Jennifer Garner in a pre-alias role, which, Hollywood, gotta make money. You know, she's doing pretty well. I think maybe they'll do a reunion at a Comic-Con someday. I doubt it.
I hate Ashton Kutcher. I just want to throw that in there.
You know what? I don't mind Ashton Kutcher so much.
No!
I
hate everything he's ever done, and I don't know why. He's just...
Here's the thing. That 70s show, he was perfect for that role.
Yeah, because he's a good-looking dumbass.
Good-looking dumbass. I used to like that show a lot.
I liked that 80s show better, but that was only on for like 6 episodes.
Yeah, that didn't last. But
which was too bad because I liked that show.
Yeah, I know all my friends.
I like it. Things that suck apparently because they always get canceled.
But that 70s show was fun.
I hated that 70s show.
And he was, you know, obviously he's a highlight, and obviously, you know, he stood. I mean, well, there's other people that have gone on to do good things in that show, but He's, you know, in this movie, it's basically, it's a perfect role for him. And, you know, now it's like he's in a bunch of, you know, crap after crap after crap.
What's that, that Katherine Heigl movie? Katherine Heigl. Somebody asked me today, too, if I'd seen that movie.
They're why?
Like, because she was like, oh, my husband and I rented it, and they, like, cut the, like, you know when you rent it for, like, 2 days on streaming?
Okay.
And they're like, you only have it for 48 hours? And they started watching it too late, and it got, like, the last 10 minutes got cut off. So they asked me if I had seen that movie, and I was like,
how does it end? It's like they all die in a boat.
That would actually be a great movie.
They all walk. They walk into a porta potty.
Ashton Kutcher gets killed.
They all get trapped.
Just like made something up.
They all get trapped in the porta potty, and a big mace hits the porta potty. That's how the movie ends.
It's a big foot. The Monty Python foot just comes down and just smashes the hell out of the porta potty.
So that's swish. That's
actually how, yeah. That would be the best ending for anything.
Yeah, anything involving Ashton Kutcher. Which actually, if I'm sure Dude Where's My Car, that could have been an alternate ending, a porta potty thing.
I mean,
but
seriously, like who? I should write something like Dude Where's My Car. I mean, how hard is that? It could be like, Dude Where's My Moped? Dude Where's My Boat? Dude Where's My Jetpack?
Where's My Scooter?
I'd like to do Dude Where's My Jetpack. Then you can set it in the future. And then it would just be like,
they should do Caveman. It's like, dude, where's my round granite?
Where's my round stone thing?
Where's my round stone thing that will revolutionize the earth, revolutionize civilization?
Dude, where's that hot spark that burns?
Dude, where's the sun? Oh, it's in the sky.
Dude, where'd it go?
Dude, where'd it go?
That's the new movie. Dude, where'd it go? And that could be about anything.
I think we just gave away the greatest idea that Hollywood has that we'll never hear.
I will never make millions now.
But getting back to this whole boyfriends thing, they're the shittiest boyfriends ever. Oh, yeah. What I don't understand is, like, they're okay. So they're together with these twins, and obviously these twins
are not twins.
We're not twins, but they're also idiots. Because
that's probably how they got past the boyfriend stage. Their girlfriends are not that smart.
You know, that's the thing. Because I saw Jennifer Garner, and I was like, I'm giving her too much credit at first. I was like, maybe she's the only, for some reason, I thought it was her in real life. And I thought she was like, oh, she's, this is Jennifer Garner. Garner. Clearly,
playing herself.
She's made a success of herself. And then this movie
she's slumming it up.
And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is a movie, and this is 2000, and she's an idiot. And whoever the other girl was is an idiot. They're dating these two idiots.
And their boobs get big.
And their boobs get big because they give them really ugly necklaces at the end that, you know, of course, you know,
are from aliens that make their boobs get big.
But it's just funny because they get these necklaces.
Like I said, hitting every benchmark you can possibly think of. Well, okay. 18-year-old boys like this movie.
They get these necklaces and it's like, okay, would any girl,
no,
I don't
really
know,
ugly.
Really ugly, they're huge really, really necklaces ugly. That you probably could buy, make, you know, it looks like somebody made at like a flea market.
They should be on Regretsy.
Yeah, pretty much, like something that was just really ostentatious, yet they're like, hey, we got you these awesome necklaces, and they're like, oh, geez, thanks, you know, and then done it in a totally non-ironic way.
No.
Shitty
boyfriends.
So I wrote, okay, so then I wrote Black Italian Stereotype, which is the, apparently, these guys have, I forgot what their names are, the dude.
I don't remember their name, actually.
Jess and Gomer, I don't know. They apparently worked for this Black Italian Stereotype pizza parlor guy, and they didn't do any work.
A red neckerchief.
Yeah, he dresses like it's typical Italian.
You know what he dresses like? He dresses exactly like, if anybody's seen Futurama, the chef on the front of the pizza box that Fry delivers. He's like all in white, and he's got like the red neckerchief.
Well, he dresses like Super Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
Pretty much, which, I mean, the only person that dresses like Chef Boyardee is Chef Boyardee, and he's not a real person, but apparently they thought it would be a good look for this guy, who's also a black man, and he is higher,
I think they just wanted to cover both stereotypes. They're like,
I think
any
one,
black
I think,
stereotype we're going to have this guy do, we're also going to have him do every Italian stereotype. So if we need someone to talk street language, that guy.
Well,
I think what they did was that guy too.
I think they had made it a point though, because they had to have a black guy in there. Because if they didn't, there would be no... It would be like the whitest movie ever.
Well, there can't be...
I mean, Christy Swanson's in it, for crying out loud. She's like...
She's of Norwegian descent.
She's practically the third... You know, she's practically...
Duck Soup had no black people in it. No people of color at all. Citizen Kane actually did have...
There was a black guy.
A black guy. He was the singer. And he was, like, in one scene.
There were a series of nationality, of ethnicities in Citizen Kane. Do Is My Car, at the end, I guess the giant alien woman is an Asian.
Oh, man, they were hitting, like, benchmarks. They were like, we want to make sure that we get everybody in here. Stereotype, stereotype, stereotype.
Yeah. They did a good job.
Yeah,
so,
good for them.
So and then I put right after that, how do these guys get by in life?
You know what else? Sorry to interrupt you, but they also had a guy living in their closet who, to me, reminded me of the guy...
Stephen Wright in Half-Baked,
except he kind of looks like a really fat Stephen Wright.
It was Stuttering John.
I don't know who Stuttering John is.
From Howard Stern.
Yeah, and he lives in their closet and pisses on their plant, which that made sense. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Maybe he pays the bills. Maybe that's just what he wants to do. I mean, that's, you never know. I think they live in California. Probably it looks a lot like Burbank to me, where they were.
I thought it was Los Feliz, but yeah.
Los Feliz maybe about 2000, so it was pre hipster. So Interpol had not left to New York yet and infiltrated the hipster scene. So next thing I have animatronic dog that was covered. Just for Men commercial.
Oh yeah, all those dudes that they were like warring against.
The basketball playing bros.
Yeah.
Who led by Jerry O'Connell's brother.
Looked like a Just for Men commercial. Who also looked like the Just for Men commercial dudes who show up in the Expendables. Jason Statham beats up.
My theory is it's the same guys. They're just older in the Expendables.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Somebody was like, you know, we need to get the guy
from the Just for Men box.
Or maybe Statham has something against it. Maybe he's seen Where's My Car, and he's like, I want to kick those guys' ass 10 years from now.
You know what it is? He's pissed because those guys have hair.
Statham doesn't need hair, though.
You're right. He does not need hair. He just needs to kick ass.
He needs violence. He's hating his heart.
He has both of those things. I just like to imagine that that's how Jason Statham lives his life. Like, right now, he's beating up a guy, like, 15 guys in an alley because they, like, tried to take his shoes or something ridiculous. He's walking to his car, and he's like, dude, give me those shoes, and now he's fighting 15 guys.
Dude, give me those shoes.
And he's like, I'm just trying to get to my car. There you go. Dude, give me my shoes.
Give me my shoes.
Sorry, Jason.
Why was this not made into an anthology series, like Amazing Stories? That would be great. They missed the mark on this. They should have just capitalized. I think. I mean, pitching this to Spike tomorrow. Okay, and other notes. Is this Three's Company? There's four people. I don't know.
I don't know why you had that.
I don't know, just because it was a lot of goofy sex exploitation. And then my last comment before I gave up was... why did they take their shirts off in the middle of the dry cleaners?
Oh, so they could see their dude's sweet tattoo?
Which is,
as I said, it is the who's on first of our generation.
But the thing is, okay, so they get these, so they take their shirts off in the dry cleaners so they can try on suits, but then they take their shirts off in the middle, out in the open, so they can see their tattoos.
And scream dude and sweet at each other.
Dude and sweet. But then they go into the dressing room and get dressed. It's like, well, if you're just taking your shirt off out there, why don't you just take your shirt off in the dressing room as opposed to, you know, indecently exposing yourself in an actual dry cleaners?
Why does a dry cleaner have a fitting room? Do they have fitting rooms? I've never been in a dry cleaner.
There might be. Oh, actually, it's not a bad idea.
I have never had anything I've owned dry cleaned. So I can't tell you if there are fitting rooms.
I've gotten dry cleaning before, but I've never had to take my shirt off.
Somebody tell me.
So,
Have you ever walked in and been like, I need to try on the suit you just dry cleaned for me? Unless they do alterations, maybe.
You might. I mean, but again, I mean, you know, if it's pants, you know, I mean, you'd, I don't know.
Are there fitting rooms and dry cleaners? That's something I need to find out.
Dude, where's my...
Do you think Wikipedia could answer that one?
Maybe. So that'd be the most boring Wikipedia ever. It's like, some dry cleaners have fitting rooms.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
So, don't know. What else can we say about this movie that can't already be said?
Oh, it's fine.
I think there's like, there's basically what happens is they find their car because there's just a bunch of.
I don't know if
like,
it actually matters what the plot of this movie is.
Yeah, I know. There's space aliens. There's
like two dudes who are supposed to be Hans and Franz ripoffs.
Actually, one of my favorite parts is when the giant. What happens is like these. There's like this gaggle of leather clad women.
Aliens.
Who are aliens who are. You don't know until the end, but they're opposing these Hans and Franz guys because they're looking for like this weird time.
I don't even remember what it was. Continuum transponder.
So basically, like some galactical destroying device.
But just for an FYI, there are some cool cameos in here. Hal Sparks is in this.
No, it's not really a cameo. He wasn't a big star.
Oh no, he's not a big star. But I always think it's fun when Hal Sparks shows up. Anyway,
Spider-Man was more of a cameo for Hal Sparks.
I like Hal Sparks.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him, but
he just always makes me think of those, I love the 90s specials on VH1.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's in that movie as some cult leader, and
Marilyn Rescub is in
that's
there.
That's what my
That was thing. A cameo for me.
She's in there. Fabio shows up with his lovely flowing locks. I'm trying to remember if anybody else shows up.
Can I just say something?
Oh, Donkey Lips is in this movie!
Oh, that's right! Donkey Lips!
That was amazing. Now, anybody else who remembers the Nickelodeon back in, like, the late 90s, when they had all those great shows like Pete and Pete, and Hey Dude, and, of course, Solution Shorts with Donkey Lips. I don't even remember that guy's name.
His real name was, like, Michael Lips. I don't know.
I don't think his name was Lips. But anyway, Donkey Lips, the guy who played Donkey Lips in Salute Your Shorts, is in this movie for like,
he's in it.
5 minutes, 10 minutes.
He's got some good face time. He exists.
He exists. When we saw him, we went, Donkey Lips!
I'm kind of hoping, being living out here in Los Angeles, that we might run into the Lips at some point.
And you're going to have to stop me. If we run into him together, you're going to have to stop me from singing the Camp Animal.
I don't know, but you,
I know it.
Oh, I'm sure I do, too.
Camp Anwana, we hold you in our hearts. Hey. Can't stop.
Somebody sold, at the establishment that I work at, somebody sold back the album that Budnick made.
Oh, the guy who played Budnick?
Yeah, the guy, Danny Cooksey, Budnick, made an album with his band called Bad for Good.
Was it like Guns N' Roses? It always reminded me of Axl Rose.
It was just your generic rock, like Saigon Kick, rock metal from the late 90s, early 90s. I do know his band was one of the first to ever have a bungee drummer. They shot a video where they dropped the drummer as he was playing drums and a bungee cord.
Oh, that's extreme.
It was extreme, and I think
that's to the T extreme.
There's no vowels in that extreme.
That is how extreme it is.
So, we're getting off topic.
Sorry.
Here. Actually, you know what? Who cares? We're off topic.
Fuck it. It's Dude, where's my car?
Dude, where's my car? If you want to see, actually, here's the thing. The significance of this movie is that if you want to see how cheaply movies were made before, like, really good special effects.
I wouldn't even say that. I think if you just want to see a stupid-ass movie that's just made for juvenile humor with cheap special effects and random bullshit that makes no sense, see this movie.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It doesn't make sense, but somehow they tie it all together.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't, but it doesn't make, like, actual sense. Who cares if it does?
Well, it can't make actual sense because there's no such thing as aliens.
Car. Who cares? It's like, whatever.
Hey, Donkey Lips got a paycheck. That's all that matters.
Donkey Lips shows up, man. I'm hoping he gets royalties to this day.
He probably does, actually. Residuals, I'm sure whatever. He still gets invited to the Ashton Kutcher compound every so often. You know, when he gets to hang out with he gets to occasionally rub elbows with Bruce Willis when he comes over to see Demi Moore's kids.
Yeah.
I imagine this is how I imagine Donkey Lips was like being. These days.
I just imagine he's like, so often. You know what happens? He probably gets pissed off because he goes out for a cup of coffee and some fucking asshole like me is like, dude, Donkey Lips! And like runs after him like a fucking douche. Starts singing the the Salute Your Shorts theme song, and he just, like, wishes to God he was either A, dead, or B, had a taser.
Which he probably has one. I'm sure he's probably prepared for it.
And if I ever meet him, I'm so going to get used on me. He's going to be like, get away from me, and he's going to tase me.
I'm going to ask him where Sponge is.
Sorry.
So,
Yeah, see that movie.
Donkey
Lips is in it.
See, yeah, see, so see both movies, and I think, I don't know, we got this one up a little bit later than usual, this podcast.
We're trying to do it on Sundays.
We're trying to make it happen, but I think we'll figure out something unique.
We're trying.
We're going to try to find something goofy and, you know, to watch, as well as something serious. There's always Platoon.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, there is Platoon. So I've actually always wanted to see Platoon.
Well, we need to see a war movie.
Okay. I like war movies.
War.
All right. So, yeah, maybe we'll do Platoon and something else fucking dumb.
So, see us on Twitter, Haven't Seen It Pod, and you can follow us there. Or go to our Tumblr, haven'tseenit.tumblr.com.
Thanks.